few minutes later, I'll come back and read one more verse. As I speak to you this morning on the subject of the possessing spirit, I want to speak about the spirit that possesses. If you like, for a subject, I've chosen the possessing spirit. Luke 11 and in verse 14. I'll ask you to focus along with me because I'm teaching a simple thing, but there's a point in what I'm teaching this morning where I will ask you to make a jump with me. Well, I'll ask you to make an inference where I will expect that you will come along with me as I say, if this is this, then it follows that this is this. And if you miss that point, then you miss what I'm teaching us this morning. So I need you to be awake and alive. So if you found Luke 11, can you give me a good amen?
Amen.
Okay. Verse 14. The Bible says, this is Jesus here, and he was casting out a devil. Jesus did a lot of casting out devils. And on this particular occasion, I want you to notice very quickly, he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. The devil that he was casting out was dumb. Actually, the NIV puts it this way. It says that devil did not have the power of speech. So there was this demon that had possessed a man. Remember, I'm speaking about the possessing spirit. There was this demon that had taken over a man. But before we speak about the man, this devil itself, I don't know if you've noticed that in your scriptures in the past. In this first part, we're not talking about the man. We're talking about the devil itself. Is it the devil that I have to cast out? But that one is a speaking devil, eh? That is not a dumb one. So this devil this morning, it was dumb. Notice that. That spirit itself was a dumb spirit. And it came to pass, when that devil was gone out, because Jesus said, go out. So that dumb spirit went out of the man. Then, dumb began to speak. And the people began to wonder. Now, what we see in this story this morning is a man that his family members suddenly found that he could not talk. Actually, the word dumb in this place refers to deaf and dumb. So he could not talk and he could not hear. And so I presume all kinds of things would have been done to solve the problem. So Jesus shows up and Jesus then addresses a spirit that the Bible says this morning, that spirit itself was deaf and dumb. And the moment the spirit left the man began to speak and to hear. And I've read this many times. But of recent, the Lord began to make me see. Have you noticed, and this is what I want to teach us this morning, the possessing spirit transfers its predominant traits to the host. I'll say that one more time. I'll show us a couple of things in scriptures to prove that. The possessing spirit transfers its predominant traits to the host. So if a foul spirit possesses a person, whatever were the predominant attributes and traits of that demon, they are transferred to the host person. So this man suddenly found, I am dumb, I'm deaf and dumb. How? Because I have been possessed by a spirit that is itself dumb and deaf. Now, if you understand me up till this point, can you give me a good amen? Amen. So the basic thing I've said up till now, and I'm trying to teach something this morning. The possessing spirit, and I'll say this over and over this morning, transfers its predominant traits to the host. Say, for example, and I know that a number of people will have this problem, particularly men. Say, for example, somebody begins to watch pornography, for example. What they find is they expose themselves to immoral spirits, demons that have the trait of immorality. And remember, the possessing spirit transfers its predominant trait to the host. And people then find that they begin to behave immorally. I'm sure you've heard before where people will say that there is this part of a particular country, people that come from there are promiscuous. You've heard things like that before. What happens is, at some point, somewhere, a demon whose trait is immoral has been able to possess somebody somewhere in that area of a country and transfers that predominant trait to people there. And as that demon transfers from people to people, carries that trait and transfers from people to people. And you begin to find people just behave like that. I'll say to you that most things in this world are driven by spirits. Most things that we see physically, driven by spirits. Imagine that deaf and dumb guy that we saw in Luke 11. Imagine what kind of medication you can give him. All kinds of things you could do to resolve his deafness, to resolve the malady that he faces. Until you deal with the possessing spirit, you never deal with the problem. Are you with me still this morning? Let's look further in scriptures and look at examples of this. In 1 Kings 22, I don't have the time to go read it this morning. I want to go quickly. But I'll ask you to write this down. 1 Kings 22, from about verse 20, 21, 22, 23. You'll see a case, for example, in heaven, where they needed to go and do something. And God said, how shall we do this? And somebody came up with an idea. And the idea was this. He said, I will become a lying spirit. Remember, I'm saying the possessing spirit will transfer its predominant traits. If there's somebody in church this morning and you are a compulsive liar, there is a lying spirit that has taken possession. That's what I'm talking about. Every time any demon or any spirit takes possession of anybody, it will transfer its predominant traits. So the Bible says, that person said to God, he said, I'm going to become a lying spirit. That means a demonic spirit who has this predominant trait of telling lies. And I will possess his prophets. And people that were prophets, they will find themselves suddenly begin to tell lies. And the prophets who used to prophesy in the name of God, suddenly now, they begin to tell the king lies because the possessing spirit has transferred a predominant trait unto them. Are you still with me this morning? You'll find in scriptures as well, the Bible speaks about the spirit of infirmity. Let's go and read this one, Luke 13. I swear your Bible is still open to Luke 11. So flip a few pages and let's read in Luke 13. I'm speaking this morning about the possessing spirit. And I'm going somewhere with this. Luke chapter 13. And you can look at examples upon examples. Some of you are very lukewarm. Lukewarm in your faith. There is a possessing spirit that is a lukewarm spirit that is transferring a predominant trait unto you. Luke 13. Let's read from verse 10. From verse 10, I'll read through to verse 13. Are you there? Did you find it? Oh, okay. Did you find it? I mean, if you are in Luke 11, you can find Luke 13 easily. Verse 10. The Bible says, and Jesus was teaching, just like I'm teaching this morning. in one of the synagogues of the Sabbath, on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had the spirit of infirmity. Notice that. There was this foul spirit. The predominant trait of that spirit was weakness, infirmity. So the Bible calls that spirit a spirit of infirmity. Just like the other man in Luke 11 had the spirit of dumbness, and the man became dumb. This woman had the spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And the result of it was she was bowed together and she could in no wise lift up herself. And you can look and do all kinds of things, but there was a spirit of infirmity. And when Jesus saw her, he called out to him and said to him, "Woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity." You are loosed from this foul spirit of infirmity. And the Bible says he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Let me ask a question here this morning. What do you think happened that made her stand straight? The spirit of infirmity left. Amen. When it left, the traits that it has transferred left with it. Okay. I am not here this morning to speak about devils. You can rest your mind. I came to speak to us about the Holy Spirit. If you are a child of God, begin to listen to me closely. If you are a child of God, your possessing spirit is the Holy Spirit. I thought I'll get a better amen than that. Every Christian that is listening to me this morning, you have been possessed by the Spirit of the living God. And the principle in scriptures is simple. The possessing spirit transfers its predominant traits onto the host. Do you understand me? Now, I'm sure from here right now, you can already preach what I want to preach to us this morning. Because the simple thing is this, we can see in scriptures, a man is possessed by a dumb spirit, he becomes dumb. A woman is possessed, a prophet is possessed by a lying spirit, he begins to tell lies. A woman is possessed by the spirit of infirmity, she becomes weak. You and I this morning are possessed by who? We are possessed by who? So the question is this, what are his predominant attributes that he transfers to us? Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm reading this and I'm seeing what you are seeing this morning, and it's occurring to me. So let's go back to Luke 11. We're reading verse 14. Luke 11, we're reading verse 14 where we saw. But I wanted to just step back one verse. Verse 14 is where we saw the dumb spirit. And verse 13, if you just step back one verse, Jesus was speaking in verse 13. And that is, this is now where I begin to preach this morning. Bible says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more?" Somebody say, "How much more?" Can I hear it loud this morning? How much more? He said, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give unto you, shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Every child of God, when you come to give your life to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. And what I want to do in a very few minutes this morning is, I want to look at five major attributes of the Holy Spirit. And bring this our principle, that the possessing spirit transfers its predominant attributes, its predominant traits to the host. And you will begin to look at your life this morning, and if these attributes are missing, you will begin to declare them over your life in the name of Jesus. So, how many people are Christians in the house this morning? Can you just wave your hand at me? You're a child of God. Okay. How many have the Holy Spirit this morning? Wave your hand at me. Okay. Everyone. Let's establish that. Everybody that is a Christian, everybody that has given his life to Christ, has nothing to do. Somebody says, Pastor, I don't have the Holy Spirit because I don't speak in other tongues. I said, no. Everybody that is a Christian, that you've given your life to Christ. The Bible says in Romans 8 verse 9, if you don't have his Spirit, you are none of his. When you give your life to Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is just an overflow of his presence that happens to you. But if you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit. Can we establish that together this morning? Okay, you have the Holy Spirit. The predominant attributes of the Holy Spirit must therefore show in your life. Five things. There are many things we can look at in his life. Look at in the attributes of the Holy Spirit. But five things I want to point to us this morning that I want you to run with and say, I have the Holy Spirit, these things must be there. Just like the dumb man was dumb when he had a dumb spirit. I have the Holy Spirit, I must carry the attributes of the Holy Spirit. Number one, attribute of the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of power. I want to teach that today. I want you to open Bibles, we'll read scriptures, and you see, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of power. If he is the Spirit of power, I am a man or woman of power because he transfers his predominant attribute, me, as the host of the Holy Spirit. Am I talking to people in church this morning? So number one thing that he transfers to us is the Holy Spirit is a spirit of power. Turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 1. I'm not just going to quote the scriptures. I want you to read them. You open them. You look at them in your Bible. Acts chapter 1. And then we're going to go and read in Micah. So now, for most of you, you cannot find Micah. So already begin to look for Micah. As you're looking for Acts, begin to look for Micah already as well. So let's begin in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, I want you to look at it to see it. I am saying that you have the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit is your possessing spirit and that he transfers his predominant attribute to you. And I say his number one attribute is that he's a spirit of power. And we want to prove that in scriptures. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Are you there? Are you there? Okay, verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read the beginning of it. It says, but you shall receive what? Shout it out loud to me, people. You shall receive what? You shall receive power. When will you receive power? When will you receive power? After the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That's what I'm saying this morning. He will transfer to you his own predominant attribute. He is a spirit of power. And he will transfer to you his predominant attribute, is a spirit of power. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, can I say to everybody that is in church this morning, even though you don't feel like it, if you are a child of God, you gave your life to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, you are a man or woman of power. Okay, people on this side are giving me a good amens. I said you are a man or woman of power. There is nothing that deaf man could do. As long as that deaf spirit was in him, he was a deaf man. And I'm saying to you this morning, you have the Holy Spirit, you're a man, you're a woman of power. Let's look and listen to the prophet Micah in Micah chapter 3. And I know it will take some time for some people to find this. And I don't want to just quote it. I want us to read it. When you put your eyes on scriptures, it does something to you. Micah chapter 3. Verse 8. Micah chapter 3 verse 8. If you're looking, may the Lord help you to find Micah. Can you find Micah this morning? If you found Micah, shout Micah. Okay, Micah chapter 4, we'll read in verse 5. If you found it, can you shout Micah? If you found Micah chapter 4. They found Micah chapter 4. Read it. Who found it? Read it. Micah chapter 4, you found it. You didn't find it. Okay. Micah chapter 4, chapter 3, sorry, I want to read verse 8. Okay. I'm looking for somebody to read for me. The way I find somebody to read for me is people that take their eyes away. You know, people just focus on their Bible like this and say, I'm looking.
Did they put it on the screen?
I did not know they put it on the screen already. So now you see, it says, but truly, I am full of what? I'm full of what? How did I become full of power? Let's do it again. I'm full of what? How did I become full of power? So I'm saying to you this morning, you have the Holy Spirit, you are full of power. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and you shall receive power after, not before, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Micah said, truly, I am full of power. And I became full of power by the Spirit of God. Now I said to you, the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives as Christians is not for us to just speak in other tongues and disturb our neighbors and do all of that. You are full of power. And how do you know you are full of power? You begin to exercise authority. You begin to exercise authority. If there are things that are oppressing your life right now, stand up this morning in your heart and speak to them and say, I said to you, go, and you must go. Am I teaching somebody something this morning? You are full of power. You have the Holy Spirit. It's a spirit of power. It transfers power to you. When things oppress you in your life, say you are married, for example, and you suddenly notice that trouble rises up in your home, rise up and speak to it. Rise up and speak to things. Speak to your job. Speak to circumstances. And say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to change, because I know I am a man of power. That's what I want you to become. Because I understand I have the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit of power, transmits power to me. I am not just somebody walking around. I'm a man of power. I speak in power in the name of Jesus. How many people understand what I'm talking about this morning? Number two, attribute of the Holy Spirit. I will ask you all of this at the end. He is the spirit of holiness. Let's go and read again. We'll read in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Reading Galatians 5 verse 16. We're looking this morning about our possessing spirit. He's possessed us and he's transmitting to us his own predominant traits. And his first trait that we've looked at is he's a spirit of power. I am not some powerless guy running around this world. I have power to control and dominate things. Number two, he is a spirit of holiness. Romans 1 verse 4. Are you there? Romans chapter 1. Verse what? Okay. What does he say? And he was talking about he was talking about Jesus. Let's read from verse 3. Are you there in Romans chapter 1? Answer me. Talk to me. You are there. Okay. Verse 3. It says, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And then in verse 4, it said he was declared to be the Son of God with power, just like we're talking about. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to what? According to what, people? According to the Spirit. I'm saying the Holy Spirit, what are his predominant attributes, his predominant traits? The Bible describes him this morning, Romans 1 verse 4, as the Spirit of holiness. Go to chapter 8, Romans 8, and in verse 13, I'm saying that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of holiness, and he will transmit that same thing to you. If you're a child of God this morning, sin must not have dominion over your life. If the Holy Spirit has a way in your life, he cannot be ruling your life, and sin is ruling your life at the same time. Am I talking to somebody this morning? If you're a child of God and sin is ruling your life, it is because your predominant, your possessing spirit is not having its way in you. If he has his way in you, he will transmit to you his trait. The Bible calls him the Spirit of holiness. Romans 8 from verse 13. Let's read in verse 13 and then we'll go and read in Galatians 5 and in verse 16. Have you found Romans 8 verse 13, everybody? It says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And I'm speaking to people this morning. If you are a child of God, you are in church, listen to me this morning, and you are a fleshly, carnal Christian. He said you are living after the flesh. And he's talking about spiritual death in this verse. He says if you allow yourself to live after the flesh, he says you shall die. He says, but there's something else you can do. He says, but if you, through the Spirit, I want you to understand the process of what he's saying. When he says through the Spirit, it is your possessing spirit transmitting his attribute and his traits to you. That's what the Bible means by through the Spirit. through that operation of the Spirit inside you. It says, but if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. If you are a child of God, you have the Spirit of God within you, sin cannot have dominion over your life. I said, sin cannot have dominion over your life. Don't be afraid to say amen. The fact that you say amen does not mean that you are living in sin. Don't say amen all the same. Sin cannot have dominion over your life in the name of Jesus. Just like that man was dumb because of a dumb spirit, I carry in me, you carry in you the Spirit of holiness. That's why we can live, and we always will live holy lives in the name of Jesus. Am I talking to people in the church this morning? My possessing spirit is a spirit of power. I am not a weakling. I have power. When things happen, I can exercise power and authority. When sin shows up at my door, I have the Spirit of holiness within me, and it transmits to me its predominant trait. It is the Spirit of holiness. Am I still talking to people in church? Are you beginning to understand me this morning? Galatians 5, let's read as well. I want to make sure that we get to Galatians 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, and in verse 16, we're looking at the Spirit within us. What attributes is he generating and transferring to us? Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 16. Everybody is there as well. You are looking at it. I'm teaching. I'm not just trying to say something. I want you to catch it with your spirit. Galatians 5 verse 16. It says, this I say then, Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now, in the sense of what we're saying this morning, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It's to allow your possessing spirit to have its free course, to transmit unto you. Let there be that transference going on. Walk in the Spirit. It says, the Bible is swearing by itself. It says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Can I get a better amen than that, people? If you walk in the Spirit, if you allow this possessing spirit inside you to have his way, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you are a Christian and you are living in sin, it is because the Spirit within you is not being allowed to express himself. The way I put it in my note is this: you have a generator of righteousness within you. You have a generator of righteousness within you. You don't have to look for righteousness from outside. It comes from within you. I put this also in my note. Let me read this to you. Write this down and think about it. I said, to do right is our default state. Sin comes when we yield to other spirits. To do right is our default state by virtue of the Spirit of holiness that resides in us. Until the day that you then allow yourself to yield to other spirits, then sin can show up. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. Number three. And this is one where some people might want to fight with me. I said, number one, the Holy Spirit that we have is a spirit of power. It's a spirit of holiness. Number three, I say, the Holy Spirit is a giving spirit. He is a giving spirit. If you are a very tight person, you are very, very stingy, that is not the Holy Spirit. That's a different spirit. There is a particular demon for that, that is transferring its own predominant traits to you. I want you to notice that in the early church, jokes apart now, in the early church, in the days when Jesus was here, and he was doing miracles and doing all of that, you never saw the church giving as much as they began to give when the Holy Ghost came. Jesus said, "When if I don't go, he will not come." Jesus said, it is to your advantage that he comes, that I go so that he can come. And when Jesus left, the Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2. Even, listen to this, even before miracles began to happen, when the Holy Ghost came, miracles began to come in Acts chapter 3. But before the end of Acts chapter 2, people began to sell their possessions and give to each other. One of the very first things that began to happen when the Holy Ghost came upon the church is a spirit of liberality came upon the people. This thing that makes the body of Christ very stingy people. There are people in this church right now that have not given anything to anybody this year. You have not, all you have done this year has been about you. There is another possessing spirit. The spirit that is the Holy Spirit of God is a liberal spirit. This morning, as the Holy Spirit, as I begin to preach this, the Holy Spirit will begin to express himself and you will become free. And God will begin to speak to you and lead you and say, have you seen that brother? Have you seen that sister? It becomes, sometimes you wonder, you hear somebody say, God spoke to me to give something to somebody and I gave to the person. And you're wondering, why doesn't God speak that to me? He's saying it to you. Your possessing spirit is making you not hear it. Because it is a stingy spirit. But the Holy Spirit that we have this morning is a spirit of liberality. You will find out that the moment you become close to the Holy Spirit and you say, Holy Spirit, I want you. Be careful this morning. When I ask you to pray and you say, Holy Spirit, come into my life and I love you. I want you to be my friend. I want you. The day he enters your house, he begins to say, I need something. I want you to give is the first thing he begins to say to you. And the moment you don't want that, you can't walk with him. It's a liberal spirit. Am I talking to somebody this morning? You will find that as you begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, you become a liberal person. You become somebody that gives. I pray for you this morning that the Lord will deliver you completely. Now, this is the situation for many of us. There are competing spirits. While the spirit of liberality is pulling you towards liberality, there is the stingy spirit from your village that you have not left alone. And remember that I said, don't forget our principle this morning, every spirit that is allowed will transfer its own predominant traits. And you've seen these kind of things happen before. You've seen it around. Where people from a particular family just like to tell lies. There's this lying spirit in that place. But in the family of God, we have the Holy Spirit and he's a giving spirit. And this morning, I speak the spirit of liberality over your life in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about our possessing spirit today. Watch yourself if you're a tight person. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. The Holy Ghost came. Acts chapter 2, verse 45. People began to sell possessions and just give. And nobody was in need in the church. People began to give, began to give. The more they gave, the more they had. The Spirit of God will lead you to liberality. Some of you in church this morning, you are... That's why, remember, we were talking about the tithe, for example, at the convention. If you don't tithe, there is a different spirit. The Holy Spirit will never support you to say, let's keep our tithe. He is a giving spirit. And I say it without any fear this morning. If you are not a tither, another spirit is transferring attributes to you that are not yours. A spirit of excuses. Excuses. I have to do this. I have to do that. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. If you are not a tither, the Holy Spirit is not having his full way in your life. And, you know, the days when I used to be careful when it comes to this kind of things, those days are gone. If you don't like what I say, I'm not here next Sunday anyway. The day that I saw that we wanted to, as a church, we wanted to buy a church building somewhere and we had no money to buy it, and some Muslims came and bought it, and a church building in this Berlin, in Neukölln, a church building has become a mosque today. How many of you know where it is? It's there. It's a mosque today. A mosque. A church built as a church with pulpits like this one. The imam is preaching from there. Because Christians are very, very poor. The reason they are very, very poor is because they are very, very stingy. And the spirit that we have is a giving spirit, a liberal spirit. And this morning, the liberal spirit will take over your life in the name of Jesus. And we can break the hold of poverty over the body of Christ. Our possessing spirit. Power. Number two, it's a spirit of holiness. Number three, it's a giving spirit. Number four, I'm going to five, and then I'll wrap this up. Number four is a spirit of light and insight. It's a spirit of light and insight. Okay, so I'm going to read three scriptures now that I want you to note very well. I'll read in 1 Corinthians 2. I'll read in verse 9 and 10 of 1 Corinthians 2. Then I'll read in John 16. I read in verses 13, 14, and 15. Then I'll read in Ephesians 1, 17, 18, and 19. We're going to read those scriptures. And those scriptures will show you, oh, the Spirit of God actually brings light and illumination. If I have Him, I have the answers to the questions of life. If I am going through life by trial and error, and my life is full of questions without answers, it is because I am not allowing my possessing spirit to transfer it straight to me. If he has his way, he is a spirit of light and a spirit of insight. Everybody say with me, I have light, I have insight right now. Okay, so who knows the three scriptures we're going to read? Who remembers it? Somebody that can tell me the three scriptures we're going to read. Okay. John. Okay. And then? Okay. Where should we start? Why? That's the first one I mentioned. It was just a brain wave. I arranged it a different way in my brain. Okay. Since you people want to start in 1 Corinthians 2, I'm a very obedient pastor. We will start in 1 Corinthians 2. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So, I want you to please look at this scripture that we're going to read. Pay attention to them. When we finish in 1 Corinthians 2, we'll go to John 16. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, verse 10. Are you there in 1 Corinthians? Okay. It says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10 is really where I'm going. It says, but God has revealed them. God has done what, people? God has done what? Shout it out loud to me. God has done what? God is not hiding them. God is revealing them. Okay. God is revealing them to who? God is revealing them to who? So let me ask you, what is God doing? Okay. What is God doing? One more time. Okay. Let's ask it another way again. Who is doing the revealing? Who is being revealed unto? Somebody says the Spirit. Us. Who is revealing something? Who are they revealing something to? Okay, so let's read verse 10 again. I want understanding in the house this morning. It says, but God has revealed them unto us. How is he revealing them to us? What is his method of revealing them to us? So you see what is happening here is we become saved. God puts his spirit within us. The possessing spirit begins to transmit his attributes, his traits to us because he is a knowing spirit. God begins to reveal to us by his Holy Spirit that is within us. Do you understand something this morning? So now, life is not about questions. Life is about answers. If we have the Holy Spirit, there are more answers than there are questions. When the Holy Spirit is not allowed to have his way, then life is full of questions. Life is full of whys. Why this? Why that? How come? How this? How this? Which way? How can this happen? What should I do? What should I not do? But when the Holy Spirit is there, God is on a constant stage of revealing to us, but that only happens by the Holy Ghost. So if you're a Christian today and you have no relationship with the Holy Ghost at all, it becomes a difficult thing for God to reveal to you. But I want you to see that God is not in the business of hiding anything. God is revealing things to us. I know that every one of us in church this morning, we have questions. There are things we would like to know about now, about the future, about how will this happen, how will that happen. And I say to you, the spirit that you have inside you is a spirit of insight. Now, this is what I do. If you want to find the answer to anything, if I have questions that I want answers to, I'll say this to you. Practically, what I do is this. I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't know how to do something. I want to do it. I don't know how to do it. I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And when I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, what I'm doing is this. He that knows the mind of God is searching the hearts of man. So inside me are the answers that I'm looking for. The Spirit of God inside me carries the answers. God wants to reveal to me, but He can only do it by the Holy Spirit. So I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And the more I pray in the Holy Ghost, it could take an hour, it could take longer, whatever time it takes, pray in the Holy Ghost. It could take a day, it could take 2 days, it could take a week. Just keep on praying in the Holy Ghost. The more you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's like there is a searching going on in the files of your heart. And the answer begins to come to the front. Amen. Because you have this possessing spirit who is an all-knowing spirit. It's a spirit of light. It's a spirit of insight. You should not go through life by trial and error. For a child of God. Let's go to John 16. John 16, before I get carried away. John chapter 16. Jesus was teaching. I want us to see this morning. If there is a spirit that is in a man, that spirit will transmit its own predominant traits to that man. And the Holy Spirit is within us. And we can see through scriptures, His traits are being transmitted to us. He is a spirit of light. He's a spirit of insight. We are people of insight. We have light. I will never be in darkness on a matter that concerns my life. I thought somebody would say, I will never be in darkness as concerning a matter over my life, because I have the spirit of light within me. John 16. I hope your spirit is catching something this morning. John 16 from verse 13. It says, howbeit, Jesus is speaking here. He says, howbeit, when the spirit of truth is come, what will he do? What will he do, people? He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will show you things, because he is inside you and he knows things to come. He will show you things to come. He will show you how to deal with it. When they make the announcement at work, it will not surprise you. Am I talking to somebody this morning? When the announcement is made, it will not surprise you. You will not be caught unawares, because there is a spirit in you that is transmitting knowledge to you. Look at verse 14. It says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of me and show it unto you. I don't know if you can see the process there. It says, the Holy Spirit is inside you. He will receive from heaven for himself. No, he will receive from heaven and he will show it to you. Verse 15. All things that the Father has, they are mine. Therefore, I say unto you that he shall take of mine and he will show it unto you. I will never live in darkness in the name of Jesus. And when this light begins to shine, the Bible says darkness can never comprehend it. I pray for you this morning that you will not live your life by just trying this out and trying that out. You will live your life by information that is clear in your spirit, because you have a possessing spirit that is full of insight. You will always be full of insight in the name of Jesus. I know what to do. This Friday, for example, is all-night prayer meeting. I encourage you, just come to the all-night prayer meeting and just say, Lord, what I'm coming to do is I'm coming to look for insight. And just spend the time. Just walk through the place 4 or 5 hours or whatever time it takes that we begin to pray at the online. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. I tell you something. There's no way you pray through the night praying in the Holy Ghost that you don't wake up the next morning with clear insight in your spirit. During this last 15 days fast that we just finished, one of the things I noticed is this. Almost on every morning when we finish fasting, the next morning when I wake up, And this was happening day after day throughout the fasting period. When I wake up, there will be something that is very, very clear that God will just speak to me. Sometimes on things that I've thought about, how do I do this? What should happen with this? What is this? It will just come very clearly. I'm not even praying about it or anything. But you know what David said? David said, my reins instruct me in the night. There's a spirit of insight inside you. I tell you something, my friends. The answers to the questions of life, they are within you by virtue of the Holy Spirit that you carry. You're a child of God. You should never. Somebody was talking to me Friday morning. We finished church, and this guy was saying to me that there has been some issues, and that he went to the mountain somewhere. And I'm thinking in my heart, now because he's new in church, and because pastor, if he was here in Berlin and one of you told me that you had an issue and you went to the mountain, I will beat that mountain out of you. But because that's a different church, I pastored that church in a different way. So I was boiling inside me, but I was smiling at him because I know that the day that I will hit his head is coming. And I'm thinking in my heart that you're a child of God, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, but you think you have, you know, you have the Holy Ghost inside you here with you, going everywhere with you, but you think you need to go to a mountain to find answers. And then, how many of you have gone to mountain? 1, 2, 3. Stop going to any mountain. You don't need to go. Don't look. Many people, mountains is where people catch demons. You know, people that come to mountain, there are people that have trouble. Don't go there. Somebody will shed his own trouble on top of your own head. The mountain is within you, my friends. Lock yourself in your room. Why do we think there is a need for a place or go to a man somewhere or a party? No, not in the New Testament, my friends. We have the Spirit within us today, and the Bible says God is on this constant verge. He is revealing to us by the Holy Spirit. Is it that the Holy Spirit works better when you are suffering on the mountain? I've never been to any of these mountains, but I would like to go. I mean, the next time I have a chance, I'm going to go just to see what happens at the mountain. Somebody told me, said, I wanted to go to the mountain, but even to reach the amount of climbing I had to climb to reach the top of the mountain, almost died before I reached the mountain. I said, bro, you don't need this morning. You have a possessing spirit inside you who is full of insight. And the Bible says, he will receive of me and he will show it unto you. Are you seeing what I'm saying this morning? The only argument you can make for going to the mountain is that the mountain is closer to God, so it's easier for the Holy Spirit to receive. Is that correct? Please, don't go to the... Look at your neighbor for me. Say, don't go to the mountain. I see some people don't want to say it. Look for another neighbor and say, stop going to the mountain. You have a possessing spirit. It is a spirit of light. It is the spirit of insight. Don't go to a mountain. Don't go to any prophet anywhere. Don't go to somebody to seek the Lord for you. Don't go to somebody to pray for you. Don't go to somebody to say, what is the Lord saying? You know, so somebody comes and I say, pastor, what is the Lord saying? I say, I know what he's saying to me. I don't know what he's saying to you. All of that you have. Say with me this morning, I have the Holy Spirit. Say it out loud, people. I have the Holy Spirit. It resides in me. God is revealing my life, my destiny, his purpose. He's revealing it unto me by the Spirit that dwells within me. I don't need a mountain. If you have a problem with that, come and see me afterwards. If you are struggling in your heart, saying, pastor, they said that on the mountain, if I'm really serious about my problem, I must go to the mountain. Come and talk to me. I will tell you things I cannot say on the pulpit. Then I will tell you. You will stop going to the mountain. Amen? Okay, lastly, number 5. I didn't know that this mountain thing is serious, but I'm seeing reactions. Okay. Maybe I should create a mountain somewhere for people to go. If I say don't go to the mountain and you still want to go to the mountain, so I create a mountain, you buy a ticket. How much is the ticket? 10 euro ticket. We make a gate to enter the mountain. And when you come to the mountain for 1 week, you have to eat some food or drink some water. We'll sell you a bottle of water for 10 euros, every bottle of water. You are looking for something, of course. You have to pay. Then when you finish and you see that you are still in the same trouble, then you don't come back to the mountain. Number five is the spirit of love. good place for me to end this morning. It's a spirit of love. Romans chapter 5. Let's go and read there. Romans 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans 5. Scripture that we know, but you begin to look at it in the light of what we're teaching this morning. It says, and hope, Romans 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God, the love of God is shed abroad. It's not talking about traveling abroad. It's widely shared, taking over the whole place. That's what it's talking about. The love of God is shed abroad where? By who? By the Holy Spirit. I said to you this morning, the Spirit of God is a spirit of love. He is always nudging you on the path of love. That spirit that says to you, don't forgive him, don't forgive her. That spirit that says to you, have you not seen what he has done? That's not the Holy Spirit. That's a different spirit. That's a spirit of hate transferring its attribute to you. But the Holy Spirit, when he has his way, is a spirit of love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You notice all these things that we've read today, a lot of scriptures where we've seen things that happen when the Holy Ghost comes. You receive power when the Holy Ghost comes. You overcome the flesh when the Holy Ghost comes. You receive insight when the Holy Ghost comes. God is revealing all things to you by the Holy Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. That is the work of the possessing spirit in our lives. That spirit that says to you, the grudges that you hold, can I speak to people practically this morning? The grudges that you hold against anybody this morning, and those grudges are very strong, and they are very strong in your heart. Those grudges are not perpetrated by the Spirit of God. There is another spirit driving that. And don't tell me that it's just me. No. If somebody offended you 2 years ago and you are still holding the grudge today, no, you don't have the capacity by yourself to hold a grudge for that long. There is a driving spirit behind it, transferring his hateful attribute onto you. And you need to free yourself this morning and say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost and it's a spirit of love. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I know how to forgive things. I know that by my own power, it's impossible to forgive things. If there are things to forgive, what I do is I go back again and say, the love of God is shed abroad. It is the love of God shed by the Holy Ghost that helps you to forgive. The grudges that you hold against people today, they are not of the Holy Spirit. In every circumstance, the Spirit nudges you on the path of love. That's the Spirit of God. There's a spirit of love. That one that is nudging you on the path of revenge and holding it tight for so long is another spirit. And this morning we'll break every such in the name of Jesus. Now, I could go on and on about the attributes of the Holy Spirit, but this morning I want us to think about this five. And this five must be dominating attributes of your life that show that you carry the Spirit of God. He is your possessing spirit. And he's transferring to you his own predominant attribute. Am I simple this morning? Can you understand me this morning? It's transferring to you. So number one attribute that is transferred to you by the Holy Spirit. I thought that would come very quickly. It needs to come quicker than that. I said number one attribute is what? I have the spirit of power. I am not a weakling. I am strong. If things happen, I demand. Job 22 verse 28, it says you will decree a thing. You don't decree without power. You decree by the power of the Holy Ghost. Number two, we have the spirit of power. Number two is what, people? It's the spirit of holiness. Sin shall not have dominion over us. People think that, you see these new generation churches, that's a place where there is liberality. Our pastor preaches on grace and says, no, I said grace is not freedom to sin. Grace is freedom from sin. The Spirit of God, the Bible calls him the Spirit of holiness. He is there. Actually, without his help, it's difficult to live a holy life in this world to live. But by the Spirit of holiness, we overcome. He says you mortify. If you live by the flesh, you shall die. Romans 8 verse 13. It says, but if you by the Spirit, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's our possessing spirit. Number three is what? It's a giving spirit. How many of you like that point? You like it. How many people don't like that number three? It is that other spirit that is making you not like that one. It's a giving spirit. Before this year ends, let me say this to you. Before this year ends, do something for somebody. That person will say, oh, that changed my life. You know that, really, it's not a lot. It doesn't take a lot to do that. Because men are in sizes, men are in different stages of life. There is something you can do for somebody that changes that person's life. Changes the person's life. But if all you are thinking about is you, and my this, my that, my all this, I can tell you stories. But let's leave it to that. The Holy Spirit is a giving spirit. Amen. And you will deliver yourself from every stingy spirit. There are demons that their attribute is stinginess. When they have room in your life, they pass on. Just like we saw, spirit of infirmity, a lying spirit. We saw also this morning, a dumb spirit. There are stingy spirits, fighting spirit. How many women have fighting spirit? They're fighting everybody. Fight your husband. Fight everybody. Fight. We need to deliver you from a fighting spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of peace. Okay, let me not get into something else. Number three was, he's a giving spirit. Number four, it's a spirit of light and insight. If you are going through life this morning and there is a lot of unanswered questions, how should I do it? When should I do it? Where should I go? I see people going from place to place. So somebody goes to one church today, goes to another church tomorrow. They're confused people. Whereas settle down and begin to look for light and insight, and it will lead you right. It will receive from heaven, Jesus said, and it will transfer unto you. Amen. Was there a scripture I said I would read and I did not read? Many of you are sleeping. You don't even know that I did not read. Okay, let's go. That one is in my pocket for next. If I read everything today, what will I read next time I come? Leave that one for next time. Ephesians, we will read next time. Amen. Number five. What? A spirit of love. Let me say to us, how do I release the flow from him inside me? Three things very quickly as I wrap up. Be very conscious of his presence. You have the Holy Spirit, if you're a child of God. Carry that consciousness with you. He has come to dwell in your spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Just that consciousness does a lot for you. When you face things that want to pull you down and all that, no, just carry that. I have the Spirit of power within me. Remind yourself of it constantly. That's number one. Number two, and this bears repetition, pray in tongues a lot. It was Paul who said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Pray in tongues a lot. Praying in tongues, and I've said this to us many times, is not a congregational gift. It's a devotional gift. Meaning, you should do more praying in tongues alone at home than you do in church. Pray in tongues a lot. And I mean a lot. At every chance you have, pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, what it does is it's removing all the clogs on the pathway of this flow. You know what this flow is? It's receiving from heaven, it's passing on to you. It's receiving from heaven, it's passing on to you. That flow needs to be constant. It needs to be fresh. And that's what praying in tongues does. You can pray in tongues while you're even doing other things. You can pray in tongues driving. You can pray in tongues on the train very quietly, not disturbing anybody. You can pray in tongues lying on your bed. You can pray in tongues. Just make it this thing that you pray in tongues constantly. And if you, we are a Pentecostal church. And if we call ourselves a Pentecostal church, it means we are related to Pentecost. How are we Pentecostals that don't pray in tongues? If we are Pentecostals and we don't pray in tongues, we've lost our identity. This is our identity. Pray in tongues a lot. Pray in tongues a lot. And you will find that the flow of his attributes to you will become easier. I said, be conscious of him. I said, number two, pray in tongues a lot. And then lastly, obey his promptings. Obey his promptings. It will prompt you. It will prompt you in line with his own attributes. It will prompt you to give. It will prompt you in particular directions because he has insight on that thing. It will prompt you to forgive. It will prompt you sometimes to make a declaration and say, it shall not be. It will prompt you to just make something bold and say, this shall be. It's just the promptings of power. Oh, I wish I could preach that this morning. I don't have the time. The promptings of power from within you. There's a difference between the same man rises up and say, you sickness, go. And the same man rises as a result of a prompting from inside and say, you sickness, go. Those are two different things. Do you understand me this morning? Oh, okay, let's leave that one alone. When it comes as a result of a prompting of your possessing spirit, it brings his power behind it. Sometimes somebody tells me something and expects me, for example, maybe to pray on it, and I don't pray because I don't have a prompting at that time. Somebody came to me recently and said, Pastor, I'm about to lose my job. I am an assistant. This last week, I'm an assistant, so whatever, at the place where I'm working. I'm an assistant manager, he said, and they've suspended me and I'm about to lose my job. And they wanted me to pray that he doesn't lose his job. And the prompting that I just had was to say, you are going to become a manager. And the man looked at me and he said to me, Pastor, I thought he said to me, he said, the important thing right now, actually. And I can understand him. But I stayed with my prompting. That's when it begins to prompt you. That's, he wants to express his power. You obey his promptings. Are you with me this morning? Obey his promptings. Speak in the spirit a lot. Where we're going to pray this morning is, rise up everybody with me. And I'm going to have you to just, we're going to make some declarations. We're not going to pray and ask God to do something. We'll make declarations. That's what we're going to do this morning. The way you are rising up, you're not rising up powerfully. It takes you too long to rise up. The chair has been waiting for you to stand up since. Say with me, I have power. Say it powerfully. Say, I have power. The Spirit of God dwells in me. Because it dwells in me, I receive his own traits. I have power over everything in this world. I exercise authority. I have power. I live right. Say with me, I live right. Righteousness is my manner of life. There is a generator of righteousness within me. I live right. Sin shall never have dominion over my life. I have the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of righteousness. I live right. Say with me, I am a giver. I am a giver. There is a spirit in me that prompts me to be liberal. I break every hold of stinginess. By the Spirit of God, I am a liberal soul. Say with me, I have light. I have insight. I have the spirit of revelation. I have the spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of God. The eyes of my understanding, they are flooded with light. The eyes of my understanding, the eyes of my heart, they are flooded with light. Answers begin to come. answers begin to come. Begin to say with me, I walk in love. I'm a love being. I do not hold grudges. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I'm a being of love every day of my life. Make those declarations in your own words this morning. Make those declarations in every area in the name of Jesus. If there are things you should speak to in power and you are prompted, some of you will receive some promptings to say some things. Don't pray right now. Just make declarations in the name of Jesus. Make declarations about the future. What is speaking to you about the future? That's what you declare right now in the name of Jesus. Sika pakalia, ai kalanda laka. I join with you in your declarations right now. Hey, you live right. Sin shall have no dominion over your life because you have the spirit of righteousness inside you. You're a giver. You're a giver. If it's prompting you to give, you're a giver in the name of Jesus. You have light. You have light. You know what to do. You know what to do. Sin is not attractive to you because there's a spirit of God. Say, Holy Spirit of the living God, have your way. Just rule and reign. Yes, have your way. Have your way. You are my predominant spirit. And I take over from you this morning. Your attributes, they become my attributes. Your attributes become my attributes. Rasata pakayanda. Your attributes become my attributes in the name of Jesus. Your attributes become my attributes. Declare it. Declare it. The live songs will sing, I'm walking in power. That's what we're going to sing this morning. I'm walking in power. Declare it this morning. And whatever the Holy Spirit is prompting you. Now everybody, you're going to say, Spirit of the living God, come. And have fellowship with me one more time. Take me deeper. Take me deeper. Take me deeper. Take me deeper in my walk with you. Have your free course in my life. Holy Spirit, if you are struggling with sin in your life, say, Holy Spirit, I want to walk in the Spirit. I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You are my spirit. You are the spirit that rules over my life. I behave like you. I behave like you. There are signs in me that show that you occupy my spirit. In the name of Jesus, invite him. Invite the Holy Spirit. Invite him this morning in the name of Jesus. You are my possessing spirit this morning. Your attributes are my attributes. Thank you, Jesus. The love of God is shed abroad. Right now, some of you just find it easy to forgive some things that have been holding you for long because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. You forgive it. You forgive it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.